Hi, everybody. It's Jim Bakei, and the podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. I've been thinking a lot. I know I'm always reminded of that line in Beauty and the Beast when Gaston gets tossed out of the cabin. He says to LeFou, he says, "You know, LeFou, I've been thinking." And LeFou says back to him, "What a dangerous thing that is." But I have been thinking a lot lately about a lot of different subjects. And I've been thinking about my podcast, and it's been about advice, but it's been about education, trying to give people a different perspective, or, you know, another reinforcement of something that they may have thought about, but are afraid to face themselves. And as I've said a million times, I see it all the time in my coaching practice. You know, fear is gripping. It causes us a great amount of pain and uncertainty, and at the end of the day, we have to drive through it. So I was just telling Katie that, you know, I had a little boating accident last week. One of those, in an instant, I could have lost my life, and instead, you know, I just sort of bruised my body. And I know everybody says, you know, when these types of things, they're fleeting, and everybody then goes back to life and everything else. But there are far more important things than the almighty dollar. And there's no question making money is an important fact, and having enough to live and live the way you want to live, and so on and so on. But I guess I wanted to say, you know, when it sort of happened to me, I realized it was quite an innocuous thing that I was doing. I was literally stood up in the boat, reached for something, and hit the throttle by accident, and ended up tossing myself around like a tin can. And I just want to remind people to be mindful of the things that seem to be easy, that it's not a big deal. And whether that's, oh, I'll just reach over in the car to grab that little thing over here, and all of a sudden you pull yourself across the lane, or I just got to fire off that quick text. This is my public service announcement. If you think it's stupid, it is stupid. You should just pause in this period of time that we're in. Be thankful for everything that we have and everyone that we have in our life, because it is fleeting. Anyway, sorry, not to be terribly morose about these things, but I just like to remind people. And by the time this podcast comes out, we will have gone through 9/11 weekend, which is go down in history as one of the worst events ever faced by people. And we should be mindful of the impact on the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that passed away. Again, and sort of back to what I'm talking about, all the money in the world is not going to bring those people back. Enjoy your life and live every day as if it's your last, and choose to be around the people you want to be around. So, you know, it was interesting. I'm going to switch subjects now and try to be a little more upbeat about this, so I apologize. I've been watching the tennis probably like everybody else. Leah Fernandez, you know, the young Canadian woman who is now going to the finals. And by the time you hear this podcast, she may have won or she may have lost, but she's already won in my mind, and that completely unranked. And I was listening to her story about, you know, how everybody told her she was too small, how everybody said she wouldn't make it, how everybody was stacked against wanting to not let her have her moment. So now she can kind of thumb her nose at back at Tennis Canada or whomever else along the way. And then I thought about it in terms of, you know, my own life, and I thought about it in terms of other people's lives. And I realized that for her, she was actually quite lucky that Tennis Canada didn't keep her on, because it probably wouldn't have given her attention. And she had to find another route. And is that any different than working for someone who doesn't appreciate you, working for someone who doesn't see your value the way you see your value? And I would suspect that most people spend a lifetime of trying to convince people why they're wrong, and that they should see themselves, they should see them differently, as opposed to the only person that's wrong is you in working for the wrong person. I know it's a continuous theme of mine, but it's an important one, because when you find that right person to work for, when you find that right company to work for, It is night and day. Like Leah Fernandez, if you're one of those people and you just don't think they get you and you don't think that you're being appreciated, you should say something. And after you've said something, if they still don't get it and they don't appreciate it, it's not their fault. It's just how they see things in life. And you have to do something about your own life. You have to make the change. You have to decide, is this where I want to be? You know, my son, Ed, is, as you know, I've talked about him before, and things are going extremely well for him. Company's doing well. But Ed went through a whole bunch of incarnations of jobs previously. And as soon as he figured out, no, this isn't for me, as soon as he figured out they don't appreciate me, he moved on. Now, he's got my DNA, and, you know, he persevered, and he kept at it, and he goes, no, it's not right. Even though people wanted to say to him, wow, it's a lot of jobs in a short period of time, and he was like, yeah, and they're all wrong. And is it not better to have a lot of jobs that are wrong, but I did something about it, than to have one job that is wrong? And, you know, when you interview, people say, well, you know, are you happy with your job? No, I hate it. You know, I hate the people I work with, or I hate my boss. Well, how long have you been there? I've been there 42 years. And you're like, okay, so like, how bad could you hate it, right? Or how bad could it be the wrong fit? Ed's found his fit. He's found the people. He's found the work that he does. And I'm very proud of him for being persistent and just not willing to accept something that wasn't right for him. It's hard. You know, it's really hard. It shakes your soul. It shakes your confidence. Society is so judging, right? Oh, you got another job. Oh, you know, that one didn't work out. You know, oh, as opposed to, you know, F off, you know, like, I haven't found the right one. It's not like, you know, when we're dating, some people find the right one right away. And then there are other people that date hundreds or tens or 50s or whatever number before they find the right one. Why should looking for something that you're going to spend 8 hours a day at, you know, for the rest of your life, not be perfect? So like myself, I found my true fit. Like so many people that I've coached have found their true fit. So it's out there for you. Just keep on it. Don't let the naysayers get you down. Don't let, that'll never work. You'll never do that. Those people are miserable. They revel in people's misery. And you know who they are. You can point them out. If I asked you who they are, you go, bing, bing, bing. Oh, that person, right? So, you know, I talked about positive mental attitude last weekend, and I want to talk a little bit about the future and how to get ourselves set up for the future. And we got to let go of the past. I still talk to too many people that say that reference the future in terms of, I can't wait till we get back to this. I can't wait till we get back to this. And I guess the question I have is, well, what if we don't get back to that? Then what? I'm reminded of my mother, you know, who left Albania in the 40s. And like most immigrants, and anybody out there who had immigrant parents, will, this story will resonate with them. Most immigrants, when they leave their country, timestamp everything to that day, especially when they're not able to go back. They hold that as sacred and a memory, and that is what life should be like. And they don't realize that where they left will evolve the same way as where they are, but they don't see that. My poor mother spent her entire lifetime in the rearview mirror thinking about life in Canada, how it didn't compare to life in Albania, but life in Albania moving on would have been far worse than life in Canada. And then when probably 40 years later, she went back, it really sort of shook her, because it wasn't that ideal postcard world that she remembered. And she felt more out of place there and more now in place in Canada, but it was just too psychologically difficult for her to reconcile. And, you know, everybody has these conversations. Oh, when are you going back to work? Oh, you know, are you going back to work? Oh, you know, like so many questions. And it strikes me as, it's taken up a big piece of conversation. when this, when that, what this, what that, what if, what you know, all of this stuff. It's all in relation to the past. It's all in relation to the good old days. And I wonder if that's any different about growing up when our parents used to say to us, you know, well, it was like this when I was growing up, and we sort of rejected it. Well, that's not what it's like now, and you guys are out of touch, and so on and so on. So is this new world that's being created, which I, for one, have no idea where it's going to end, but I do see people continually pushing the dates out, if as and when people go back to companies. I think there'll be a variety of ways to work, depending on when you want to work. I just talked to a woman yesterday who's got three kids, and you know, one of the incentives in moving jobs is she can work from home. All of a sudden, that's become such a critical element for some people. But, you know, she's not in that world of, oh, I can't wait to get back to the office. She's embracing the new world. But as she was saying to me, you know, people are going, well, what do you mean? Why don't you want to go back to the office? And so on and so on. So I think that everybody has a different story. There should be no universal plan for everyone. I think that what this COVID, this pandemic has created is an opportunity to do your own thing. Much like the whole gig economy world has created an opportunity to do your own thing. People are working in companies like Ed, you know, Flinks didn't exist, financial data, other people working, you know, I just heard about Silicon Valley Bank, got an operation in Canada. Who the hell is Silicon Valley Bank? Never heard of them before, right? And there are all these companies, all these AI companies, these tech companies. All of a sudden, it's not only cool, but it doesn't matter that you weren't a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, or a professor or something like that, right? The world has exploded in opportunities. So why shouldn't the world explode in opportunities about how we work? Why shouldn't we be able to sort of have a bigger say in how we want to work? And how we want to work now has a bigger say in where we want to work or who we want to work for. You know, historically, where we worked was tied to who we wanted to work for because geography bound us. We wanted to work for one of the Canadian banks, pretty well had to be in Toronto. You know, you wanted to work for different French institutions in Montreal, so on, so on, so on. But geography doesn't bind us anymore. And so I think that we need to stop thinking about what our company wants, and we need to start thinking more and more about what we want. Ed was here yesterday, talked about going to the office a couple of days a week. It's been great. He likes it, but doesn't know if it'll go all the way, part of the way. It's a bit different. My friend Tom Curry, his managing partner, Lensner, they've got the hotel kind of thing where you could book a spot. And much like life, everybody wants to sort of whitewash and everybody's going to do this and everybody's going to do that. I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's going to cut it. And I don't even think it's going to cut it. Forget about it within industry. I don't think it's going to cut it within companies. I think there'll be departments that will have a different work schedule than other departments. And I think that'll be based upon age. I think it'll be based upon gender. I think it'll be based upon a whole bunch of other factors. And so this one size fits all, I think it's history. I think it's toast. I think that the power is in the hands of the employees for the first time in a long time. And as the economy makes it hard to hire people, God, I see signs everywhere of people looking for people. And the question I ask is, where are all these people that were employed before? Like, where did they go? But I guess, you know, sorry, I'm rambling again. But I guess my point is that you have the power. You have the power now. You have the power. They need you and they want you, and you can dictate what you want. And if they don't have what you want, you should find someone that does, because there's tons of opportunities out there. Don't feel like, oh, really, I don't have any opportunity. I have to do what they say. You don't at all. And you can determine your own career path, your own where you work, how you work. Only thing you got to do at the end of the day is you got to deliver. And whether you're doing it at home, you're doing it in your RV somewhere in Yosemite Park, or you're doing it up in Lake Superior or Muskoka or in Florida, as long as you deliver the goods, nobody can argue about that. So let go of the past. Step away from the dock. Swim out a bit. Let yourself get a little further away from it. And just turn your eyes to the future. Let your senses take in all of the different opportunities. And there's a great line that I'd heard at a wedding. It was a toast, and it says, may the best days of your past be the worst days of your future. And that's how we should see life, both personally and professionally. So may the best days of your past be the worst days of your future, and keep your eyes on the horizon, because there's going to be a ton of opportunity in this world that we live in. You have to be wide-eyed to be able to take advantage of it. And you have to be honest with yourself to say, what is it I want? And what I do want is to be appreciated and valued and compensated for who I am and what I do. I'm Jim Bakei. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust.